Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, my beloved brothers and sisters, family and friends. How are y'all doing? I myself have been having a peaceful, quiet time in the Lord. I'm going to share with you how I have been doing. And to show you how wonderful God is, I'm going to speak about a young man who, he's my friend. I call him my son. I love him dearly. Oh, man, he's a lot of fun. I got to be honest with you. He got a laugh like you never heard before. He has a smile that's like the sunshine. And he stands about 5'9", 5'10". He's a chubby, he's just a good guy. He's just a really good guy. People say, right, that of family and that of doctors, that he has an illness. And I won't get into that particular part right now. But the illness in which he's supposed to have, he's supposed to also take medication for it, yet he has it for over 4 months, probably longer than that. But since I've known him, it's been over 4 months. And he's been with me almost every day during the journey. I mean, I had some things to do, I had to leave him and things of that nature, but for the most part, he has been with me. Now, I'm only sharing this because of the fact that beautiful thing about God is you can see miracles happen when you allow his love to flow, when you allow his love to reign, when you allow God be God, oh my God, what wonderful things that you see happen. It's amazing. It is truly amazing. I cannot mention his name because many people may know of him, and he hasn't given me permission to mention his name for better. But since I cannot, let's just call him the Big Giant. I normally call him Big Daddy. And I call him that because you should see when he got this little look on his face. It's just so amazing. But I can say that he's 29 years old, and he's my friend. He is my friend. But allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I love you. I am so overjoyed with the things that you're doing in my life. Sometimes it's so hard, Father God, until, as you know, I want to even give up on life. But Father God, I know I can't give up on life because the reality is his life is better than any life that we could possibly ever live. And you know I'm talking about your son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yet, Heavenly Father, I am also encouraged by you so wholeheartedly, and the reason why is because, Heavenly Father, not only did you give us life, you also taught us how to live life abundantly. I thank you for that, Heavenly Father. I ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to touch every heart under the voice that you have given me. Touch them wholeheartedly, Heavenly Father, because as you know, there's a lot of work to be done, and there's only a few of us that is putting that work into action. I pray, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, that you bless the families of each of us, their hearts, Heavenly Father, because you know we love our family wholeheartedly. Yet, Heavenly Father, I'm only talking about the family that is born to us biologically. But I say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the family who has come to you, so that we can be family spiritually. For Father God, as you know, Jesus said, who are my brothers and my sister? Who is my mother? For my brothers and my mothers and my sisters are those who listen to you, Heavenly Father, the disciples, and he, Heavenly Father, the Christ. I thank you, Father God, for that, because, Heavenly Father, that means that we never have to be alone, because we can shake a stick, Heavenly Father, and there's a Christian somewhere. Thank you for that, Father God. Thank you. Yet I shall also thank you, Father God, for the ones who are not believers yet, because it enables us to enjoy the beauty of always going to work, having a testimony to share, having some love to share, Heavenly Father, to make it so that somebody can get something to eat, somebody can get some water, somebody can get some clothes, somebody can get some shelter. Oh, Heavenly Father, for somebody to be visited, whether they're in sick or in prison, you can put us to work, Heavenly Father, each and every day, and make it so that in that work, we always give you the glory. I'm so in love with you, Father God. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. The reason why I spoke of this young man, my brothers and sisters, is not only because of the fact that he has not taken his medication, because there are many people who are ill in one shape, fashion, or form may not be taking any medication or may be taking medication ill-managed, meaning they might have, or correct, they might need to take it every 3 hours and only take it every 1 hour. You know, we all have a tendency of not taking the medication correctly. And I'm not just talking about physical medication. I'm talking about spiritual medication. We may not be using as we should. We can turn our spiritual medication into that which becomes a curse, as opposed to it being a blessing to us, in which God so heavily wants us to have. This particular individual, he doesn't want to take his medication physically because he knows it does things to him that he doesn't like. So he decided that he will do everything within his power to make it so that he keep his condition under control to the best of his ability without the medication. And I got to be honest with you, I have been with this young man for quite a while. And literally, God is working with him to do just that, to under VAPS. Now, he has done some things that literally, I got to be honest with you, that would cause you to go, ooh. But don't we all? Have we all not done something that caused somebody to say, oof? But now, this is what's so special. I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 15. We're going to start at 7. See, because a lot of us may not understand that our responsibility to people is so amazing until literally, if we was to allow God to use us, we'll see miracles happen. And I mean that with all of who I am, we would see miracles happen. Now, remember I said this young man has not taken his medication since I've known him. Now, he has diabetes. He takes medication for that. I mean, he doesn't take it as he should, but he does. He has medication that I've just found out about, high blood pressure. He has blood thinner. And literally, he has not, I know for sure he hasn't taken it. And I caused him, I got to be honest with you, I forced him to take it by taking something away from him. Now, I'm not going to get into what was taken, but that which was taken, he wanted very badly, so he took his medication so that he can get that which was taken from him. And he did so knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that I love him. Literally, he know that I do, right? And I got to be honest with you, he took it with some resistance because he don't want to take medication, period. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even want to acknowledge that he is as ill as he is. But we're going to come to that point to where not only will he acknowledge it, he's going to take care of it so that he can live a long life, because I had told him that he's the one that I have adopted. We're going to make it so that he understands that somebody loves him beyond his biological family. And while in that loving him, I've come to find out God does some amazing things when you love God first and then allow God to use you so the person can get to know. God's love should always be first. And in that love, what happens is he will cause it to, he will cause you to get to a point where if you take your medication, you won't need medication. And I mean that with all who I am, because he will cause things to shift on a level that says, I can do this because God has made me more than a conqueror. Now, obviously, there's some things that we first have to do. And God is going to do the rest, literally. So I want to read this to you because obviously this is basically based on all of the physical needs in which we are responsible to help people with, okay? So we at Deuteronomy 15, and we're going to start at 7. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren with any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. I got to say that again, okay? Whatever he needs. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. Now I'm going to stop there. And then I'm going to move on to 10. I just finished at 9. Now, I need you to really get this. I said to a friend of mine that isn't it interesting that the majority of the people that you see in the United States that are homeless or African Americans. Now, this is not about black or white. This is not about black and Latino or Mexican. It's not about that. What it is about is we not allowing ourselves to tend to the needs. Of course, we are not allowing ourselves to tend to such needs. We are always in need. I need you to pay attention to this. Now, see, and I believe this with all of who I am, because when you pass a brother or sister, what you're doing is, and when I say brother or sister, I'm not talking about black, white, or otherwise. I'm prophesying that that could be a brother in Christ, or someone who you can bring to Christ. By what happens is, I believe this, that they might have said, well, God bless you. I've heard it many times. Not that I've necessarily passed anybody by, because if I got it, they're going to get it. I don't care who it is. Makes no difference to me. But I've heard them say, I've heard many people say, well, God bless you. To me, that's like saying, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God bless them because they just cursed me. Touch their hearts or place that upon their hearts or put them in a position to where they can know how I felt about begging. God bless you. Now, I want you to take it on a different level. Here you have individuals who have different types of mental illnesses, physical illnesses, and we are also just passing them by. As a matter of fact, many of the people that are in such places, such as Skid Row, You can go down there and see that they are individuals who have mental problems. It may not be medically to the degree to where they have to take medication. May not be. But one thing I do know is that each one needs assistance in some shape, fashion, or form. But because of the fact that we close our hands, turn our back, that we do not allow ourselves the ability to say, Father God, I know you turned me from a whoremonger, turned me from a drug dealer, you turned me from a drug addict, Heavenly Father. You've turned me from something and turned me into somebody great. Not so that I can just give a testimony of what you turned me into, but so that I can be a witness that is possible for you to turn them into something as well. God bless you for passing me by. So I made a vow to this young man, as well as to his mother, that I will take care of him for the rest of his life. If he so, and he has not taken medication that is required for him to continue being taken care of. And I believe this with all of who I am. It's because God said that what I'm going to do, without me realizing, I'm going to let my love flow through you to the degree that he's going to feel so comfortable in what you're doing with him until that becomes his medication. That's what's going to keep him cursing him out. You're not telling me he's crazy. You're not telling me he's... What you're doing is you will discipline with love. And there's millions of people that I am positively sure that are in Skid Row and other places that if we allowed ourselves the ability to just simply say, I want to adopt a person. I want to take the time to get, and some of us know we need that. I'm going to tell you why. Because some of us messed up with our own children so badly until our own children became that which causes us to say, I don't know how I got that child. I don't even understand how that child is my child. And some of us, our children are out there. Now, I'm not saying that, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm not saying that we should just forget about our children and go get somebody and we can help that person and we feel better about ourselves because we didn't do as well as we should have did with our own children. No, I'm saying that we have a responsibility to make it so that somebody can say, I was helped today. I was helped today. I went to a check cashing place today, and there's a gentleman that sits there every day, all day long, and I know for sure all day long because I pass by this place every day, most times during the course of the day, and he's always there. He very rarely asks for anything, so he's probably been there for a very long time. And I helped him, not trying to brag, because it ain't about that. Because the reality is, Father God said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You ain't got to tell people. You ain't got to tote your own horn, because it's not, because that's nothing. To me, that's like, you know, when you make some tea, the steam, you see it first moment, and the next time it's gone. Because the tea don't cool down. So it's not about that. What it is about is by the time I finish with this man by the check cashing place, I'm not going to get into all the stuff I did, but by the time I finished, he handed me a note. And the note said, thank you for caring for me. is it possible that you can make a way for me to have a place where I can lay my head, a place for me to stay? Man, tears is coming down my eyes because of the fact that you ain't got to ask me twice. Because the reality is, when I was homeless from the kingdom of God, I know what hell felt like. When I was an enemy to God, I know how Satan used me. When I did not have the proper role model, I followed everything I thought was right until I saw a righteous man in Jesus. So you don't have to ask me twice, because now we're going to work on this. We're going to make it so that you're going to be okay. Because the reality is here. God don't help people so that people don't help people. See, he brings you out of the murky water so that you can bring somebody else out that murky water. It's called blessing forward. Okay, let's go back. Now we're going down to 10. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to whom you put your hand. God bless you. Bless them, Father God. Make it so that they can get to a point to where they would want to, and that's what God do. He will make it to where you will have to be in their position in some shape, fashion, or form to where you understand what you should have did when you was in a greater position. And not only that, but curse everything that got to do with you. Family members, the whole. So many people get affected because of you being tight-fisted, of you being selfish, of you thinking that I got to look out for myself, Father God, because, I mean, who's really looking out for me? Who's taking care of me? I gotta hustle every time, every look. I went to a restaurant for this young man and brought him a little something. I had a small salad during the course of the day, and literally, this gentleman who was a barber talked about every check I get. No, not every check, but every week that I get paid, I got to pay bills. He said, I don't even see myself out of poverty, because everything that has to go in my pocket end up in somebody else's pocket. And I said to him, just kindly, I didn't want to, come off strong or anything. I just said to him, but have you blessed anybody today? At any given time, did you cut somebody's hair free? Did you do anything that would tell God you appreciate him putting you in a position to have the ability to pay bills? And he said, oh, my God, my mama told me the same thing just the other day. That's confirmation, man. I need to take heed to what God is trying to tell me, because the reality is God put you in a position so that you can reposition somebody. Check it out. And when you do, you not only get blessed, but people be blessed because you got blessed. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, check this out. There's a woman who came to me, and she asked me whether or not if I would clean. And you know how food can go down the side of the seat? She dropped her food inside the seat, and she couldn't get to it. She was a pretty big woman. And I went and I cleaned it for her. And she said, oh, my God, just thank you, God. Bless you. You're going to be so blessed. And I said, but I'm blessed the moment that I start working on your car. Because not only did he give me the strength to do it, he gave me the wisdom to do it. He gave me the tools that was necessary for it to get done. I was able to do something for you without payment. That was the blessing. Just blessing after blessing after blessing. Because the reality is, my apology, when God blesses you, it's not just a paycheck. No. That's too small for God. He blessed you with the ability to give. He blessed you with the ability to smile while you're giving it. He blessed you to be able to talk to the person that you gave it to. He blessed you to bring the person to Christ, or at the very least be a friend to the person so the person can see Christ. He blessed you. He blessed you. He gave to you. He's done so many wonderful things. But you became tight-fisted. So what we see is the evidence of so many people being tight-fisted. So we have homelessness all over the place because we did not allow the blessing to go forward. Think about that for a second. Just take a second. Let's have a quiet moment just for a second and just ask yourself, why am I so tight-fisted? Do I like cursing myself? Do I like hurting myself? I say I love myself, but just take a second. Quiet moment right now. Yeah. See, the reality is when we understand God, we'll come to understand that He gave. You got to really understand what John 3:16 is saying. He gave. Not that he thought about giving. Not that it's not time to give. He gave His only begotten Son. And this is the part that's on us. For whomever believes in Him shall be saved. That's our part. Whoever believes, because if you believe, then you know God, who gave His only begotten Son, will not let you be lacking because you gave. Because surely we have been saved. We're not lacking in a spiritual manner, in no shape, fashion, or form. For He has provided us with the spiritual essentials, then let it be understood that we can conquer anything that's down here. We can be as rich as we want to, literally, as long as it's in His name. So we only became completely poor as a nation because we act poor as individuals. But I'm not only talking financially. I'm talking in every area there is, which is really sad because the reality is we are a powerful nation. We just allowed ourselves to be tricked into believing that we're not. So we have most of our families out here in the street, things, people going through trials and tribulations, upside down situations. Oh, man, the devil's having a good time because he's looking and saying, I'm really glad I got y'all, because the thing is, if y'all was to let yourself be what you need to be for the Lord, woo! What a model y'all would be. Because literally, well, nobody necessarily be putting up no dark-skinned people saying, send us money to help these people. Because your people would be doing that which we all supposed to do anyway. Man, God bless y'all. I love y'all so much. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.